for what the Lord is doing in our lives and in our church and what it is the Lord will continue to do. Matthew 28, I'm going to read from verse 16 to verse 20. All right. Here we go. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." All the way till the very end, Jesus says, "I am with you." A great promise to go with God's great commission. Thanks be to God for his word. This story in the life of Jesus at the very end of his ministry on earth, it ushers in some confidence where there had been a kind of implosion for the disciples of Jesus. Imagine that after 3 years of commitment and work, of pouring all of yourself into something, all of the sacrifice, all of the threats and the danger, all of it, and the belief that you had placed in Jesus, all of this had blown up in the disciples' face when Jesus was arrested and crucified. The resurrected Jesus had appeared to them on some occasions, but the disciples' joy was not yet complete. That changes right here in this story. They encounter Jesus. The disciples experience Jesus. And that changes them in such a way that they begin to worship him. You know, I've preached here that I don't want to just hear the stories of the Bible just to inform me or to be familiar with the details of them or the facts of them. Rather, I want to experience the things that the Bible, that the New Testament especially, describe, especially about the early church and how they experienced the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit at work, doing signs and wonders among his people. In this same way, the disciples experience Jesus in such a way that they worship him. I've wondered how long this experience went on with Jesus. What, 15 minutes as they stood there? I mean, certainly it wouldn't have taken Jesus that long to give the Great Commission and then ascend on up into heaven. 15 minutes, what, 30 minutes? Maybe an hour? If we've had an unbelievably great experience with the Lord in our devotional times, that might last close to an hour. Maybe this experience with Jesus went on for the entire day as they were together with the Lord and with one another, worshiping him, experiencing his presence, hearing him encourage them and strengthen them. I like to think about it lasting longer than shorter. This was not just some real quick update that Jesus gave them and then he was on to his holy business, but that he took time and dwelt there with the disciples and with those who were gathered in that place. The whole day of being with Jesus, like it had been, but maybe this time, much better, much different. You know, the disciples were becoming different. They understood more. They believed more. I believe that they worshiped Jesus now, unlike they had worshiped him before. That's one of the things about being a disciple even today. We don't remain the same. We're always growing and, I guess I would say it this way, evolving in a way as disciples, learning more about the Lord. Understanding more, even believing with greater capacity in the Lord and in what the Lord is doing and in what the Lord has said. What a worship service that must have been on that day as the disciples worshiped the Lord. And their doubts turned into confidence as they worshiped Him. And there was joy again. Sometimes it feels like waiting on the Lord is so hard. We have His Word. We even have experiences with Him where He has proven Himself to be faithful. Our times of prayer and worship are meaningful, whether that's daily with the Lord or when we're gathered together in worship. And then we wait. And waiting is hard. Waiting tests our faith. It tests the scriptures and the promises that we've claimed for ourselves. Waiting looks really spiritual on paper. The Bible tells us as much. Wait on the Lord. But living it out is a completely different matter. Waiting can even test what we really believe about God. If His promises are true, if His Word is trustworthy, then why would I have to wait? So waiting on the Lord is hard for us. And it was hard for the disciples. Look back at verse 17. There it is. Just as they were enjoying worship, the toll that waiting had taken rises up. And it says, but some doubted. Even amongst the 11 disciples who remained, even after all that had happened, the great glory and power that had been witnessed, even after all of that, some doubted. Now, I bet we know who that was, right? And I guarantee you the first name that comes to mind is Thomas, the doubter, the great doubter. Thomas gets a bad rap, maybe, but that's the first one that comes to mind. But in this passage, the doubters are not named. We might want to name Thomas, but he's not named. Maybe the ones doubting were the ones who had been the most faithful, the ones who had been the closest to Jesus, the ones in the Garden of Gethsemane that prayed right next to Jesus. Maybe those were the doubters. Maybe this morning it's you and me. After all that God has done in our lives, after all the promises and provisions that we've experienced of the Lord, maybe this morning it's you and me who are doubting. But doubting has an antidote. You know what an antidote is? It's a medicine taken to counteract a poison. It's not so much that doubt is bad or wrong or can't be fruitful in our lives and lead us to a better place. But if we remain in that place of doubt, of skepticism, of despair, of some hopelessness, that can begin to take hold, and it operates in the life of faith as a kind of poison. But there's an antidote to doubt. And what is the cure for doubt? In this passage, the cure is authority. Authority. There were some who were overjoyed in worship that day, and there were some who doubted the whole thing. But Jesus ushers them into an experience with Him in that moment in our passage. And the experience with Jesus there on that mountain brings about renewal. It takes the doubt and casts it away. After this story, we don't hear about doubt. And there's something about the authority that Jesus speaks and gives and extends that is the antidote to a doubt that defeats. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. Now, it's not in the text, but the word therefore has to be, in a sense, understood this way. My authority, Jesus says, is now your authority. The fact is, it's not just God's promises that we have. It's His authority. We want to claim promises, the promises of God. And in times of difficulty and doubt, cling as a sinking person, cling to promises of God. But folks, we have more than promises. We have authority. Now in Matthew 28, it's authority to carry out His commission. And it's a promise. It's authority that leads the disciples to recognize that they will succeed and that they will prevail. And we are evidence, even this morning, that Jesus' commission is succeeding and prevailing. Because Jesus' authority is ours, we can step out with confidence into all the world, making disciples, teaching everyone everywhere about Jesus, and baptizing them in His name. Jesus' authority gives us today confidence that we will succeed and that Christ's purpose and mission will prevail. But it's more than just confidence. Because Jesus' authority is ours, Jesus is with us. That's what He says. At the end, He says, I will be with you. And Jesus ascends to heaven, but He promises to send His Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And even today, the Lord pours Himself out over and over again into His people and into the midst of His people. Jesus says, I will be with you till the very end. And folks, we are not at the end yet, are we? Jesus' promise is that He is with us. And that truth is based on the authority of Jesus. I will be with you, and nothing can change that. There's another truth here about authority. Jesus' authority that He gives us confidence. Jesus' authority ensures us that He is with us. He's not going anywhere. But there's another truth here about authority. Authority determines who we put our gaze on. If we have Jesus' authority, then our gaze is to be continually on Him. Now, the problem with doubts is that doubts cause us to look elsewhere. And in our waiting, we end up thinking that we're waiting on someone else. We're waiting on something else. I'm waiting on someone to call. I'm waiting on someone to text or to email. I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting for this decision to be made. I'm waiting for this to happen. And we end up waiting on the wrong thing or the wrong person. Our waiting is on the one who has given us His authority, and that's Jesus. And so we must train our gaze. We must train our gaze. It doesn't come to us naturally. We must train our gaze so that we are continually focused on Jesus. Lord, I am not waiting on that person. I want to train my gaze. Lord, I am not waiting on them. I am waiting on You. Lord, I am not waiting for this thing to happen. Lord, I am waiting on You. And what that does is that trains our gaze to be on the Lord, regardless of what happens, regardless of the timing of things. We turn our gaze to the Lord and we wait on Him, not on others and not on other things. And we do that and can do that because of Jesus' authority that He has given us. And that authority enables us to remain focused on Him, a gaze that is set on Him. When you're tempted to doubt, remember who you're waiting on. You're waiting on Jesus. Doubt might enter in, but Jesus' authority that he has given us is the answer. So if you feel doubt or uncertainty, even despair, it's time to remember this morning that we have Jesus' authority over that thing. Jesus' authority means that we are confident. It means that he is with us. It means that we wait on him. And when Jesus' authority wins out over our doubts, it means that we get the victory. Praise the Lord. Robertsville, you are a church who has received much more than a commission from Jesus. You have received the authority of Jesus. So, as you set out, remember that God has replanted this church for such a time as this. And for his purpose, for his plan, for his will to be accomplished, continue to call on the authority that Jesus has given you. Remember replanting priorities. Seek God's glory in everything. Make disciples who will make disciples. And sow the gospel out in this community. Do these things. And do not stop. Do these things with the authority that Jesus has given you. Do these things with confidence, not with doubt, believing that God's plan will succeed. Do these things with Jesus' presence, knowing that you are not alone in the work, and that he is the one who sustains the work, not you. Do these things knowing you are waiting on him, not on others. And do these things knowing and believing that with Jesus' authority, we get the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. And on this third Sunday of Advent, where joy is the theme, may we know that ours is the authority in Jesus Christ. And with that knowledge, may he make our joy complete. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, this day, I can't imagine why you looked at us and thought that we would be worthy of your authority. You know us, Lord. You know that we are people with feet of clay. You know our humanity, our flaws, our hang-ups, our habits, our hurts. You know it all. And yet, Jesus, you look at us as you did those 11 disciples that day, and you speak to us with those same words. My authority is yours. And so go. Step out. Go now. Make disciples of everyone, everywhere. Teach them everything that I've taught you. Baptize them in my name. And I'm with you to the very end. Lord, those words are ours today. And so, Lord, might we receive from you this mantle, though we can't fully understand what it means for us. And yet we would receive it from you and step out with you, Lord, because you are with us till the end, exercising, Lord, your will and your purpose for our lives and for your church. We may wait, and doubt crouches. But Lord, might we know that we are waiting on you and that your authority casts away every doubt. And so we move on with you, Lord, with confidence and with faith, with belief in you, not in others. And we thank you, Lord, already. We just already say thank you. We want to be grateful people, not doubting people. We want to already say thank you for what you're going to do. We may not see it yet. We may not feel it yet, Lord. It may not be manifest yet, Lord. But we believe it and we say thank you, Lord, already for what you are doing and what you will do. And how, Lord, it is that seeds become sprouts that grow up into strong trees that yield tremendous fruit. And so, Lord, would you have your way in us today? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our joy and that you, Lord, make our joy complete. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.